broadcasting from Cardiff and across the world on the internet. I'm Kevin Moore and welcome to The Moore Show. For the next hour, I'll cover subjects of an alternative variety that most shows do not touch. On today's show, I'm joined by Doug Yerchi to discuss his research into Atlantis and the great scientific genius Nikola Tesla. So stay tuned, enjoy, and I'll be right back after this break.
Missed a show or a guest? Want to know more about The Moore Show and upcoming guests? Then log on to www.themooreshow.co.uk.
Could tell just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well in a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. You know that ghost is me, and I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost. You can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstores sell. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail, and you won't read that book again because the ending's just too hard to take. Star who gets burned in a three-way split, enter number two. movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone and I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie.
You're listening to The Moore Show. And here's your host, Kevin Moore.
Doug Yerchi was born in Pittsburgh, USA in 1951 and dedicated his life to understanding and solving great mysteries. His research has led him all the way from Atlantis to scientific genius Nikola Tesla. Because of his study and understanding of Tesla, Yerchi has literally rewritten history. The idea that our ancestors were technologically superior is a vital theme that he currently promotes. In 1990, Doug was hired as a background artist on The Simpsons TV show and has become a successful internet writer with over 10,000 Google listings. Doug, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Very good.
Before we start, Doug, is it true that you used to work on The Simpsons TV series? And how long were you with them for?
That was the first 2 years that it came out. They were hiring everybody, and then later they even dropped my department. So I was there for like the first 2 years. So it was pretty cool.
Okay, so you were there for 2 years, and that was back in 1993, would it have been? 90, yeah, wow. That's some. It just seems to be one of those shows that just seems to go on and go on and go on. So,
yeah.
So tell me, Doug, how did you get into studying Atlantis and the mysteries of the ancient worlds?
I'll tell you, I had a very strange experience when I was married back in the 70s, and I was married to a psychic who could really channel. I don't know if you've heard of Seth Speaks and things like that, where like an entity can actually take over a person's body. I actually lived with that.
Wow.
With a wife that could like exchange places with an alien. So I feel very, for 4 years, so I feel very fortunate that this experience happened. And I've spent all my life since the divorce, all my life like researching what I've learned, and the two main things that came out of it. And I've, you know, I think even if you just lived with someone who was intuitive, I think you might come across like sort of a new age thinking is reincarnation and Atlantis. And these are two things that, you know, aren't quite accepted in the mainstream, and yet this is what I've researched, and I just came across through this psychic. I was given 13 points on the Earth surface, and I immediately recognized some of them. Some were Stonehenge, the Great Pyramid, Easter Island. I knew about some of these, the Incas. I knew about some of them, but I've like spent my life searching these 13 areas, and by now there's some strange anomaly that shows that the human race went back thousands and thousands of years, and not in a primitive state, in an advanced state, in these 13 places. Now something's wrong there, Kevin, because we're supposed to. I was taught we came from the Tigris-Euphrates River.
Yeah.
And then now the thinking is in Africa, because they believe in evolution. And you know, England, you know, they had 200 years ago Charles Darwin was born, and I know that that's still believed. Probably more in England than anywhere else, but
I would say so.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we have to throw away Charles Darwin, and there is physical evidence to prove that he was wrong. That like we've thrown away the flat Earth idea.
Yeah,
science holds on to that so much, but there's a contradiction here. How can we be primitive and have been these cave people when there are these pyramids and things that we cannot build today, that we're finding out are older than we think? Something's wrong there. We have to be, to have built these things, we had to be advanced, and yet we're taught we were cave people.
Well, tell me, Doug, tell me about Atlantis and the work you've done so far.
Well, this is what I'm doing, and Atlantis is not, as most people think, like, oh, some land somewhere or just a continent. It was these 13 areas, because there was a main, on this map, and I wish people would write to me, because I would send them I would send them information, I would send them this map that was, like, channeled, and how about if I give my email address out right now?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. It's, please write to me. I'll send you chapters of my book, this map. It's dougko@surfside.net. dougko@surfside.net. dougko@surfside.net.
Okay.
Spelled dougko. And if people write to me, I know this is going to sound outrageous, but, if they see this physical, these mysteries that happen in all these places, and if you step back, it forms a world pattern. You know, I was on Coast to Coast with George Inouye, and he actually gave me a hard time. But he did agree that, if all these places do fit a pattern, then they're all connected.
So you're basically... Sure, go ahead.
On a worldwide level, a world grid around the Earth from thousands and thousands of years ago.
So you're saying that Atlantis wasn't just one continent. It was actually many continents.
Well, the one continent sank, and that was out in the Atlantic Ocean. And we have these 12 other areas that form a pattern. And after that, you have the Great Pyramid, was sort of the main one. And coincidentally, that spot, that location in Giza, is the exact center of all the land masses. If you erase that big continent that was out in the Atlantic Ocean and just look at what was left, that's the exact center of all land masses. So if you were to have like a tower that could put out power, and that's what the secret to these ancient things were, power towers, not a tomb for the pharaoh, no sarcophagus was ever found in the Great Pyramid. This thing is 500 feet tall. The Great Pyramid is a giant machine placed in a global perfect position. And what I found out is that all these places, there's one in Africa, southern Africa, Zimbabwe. Since when did Africans move giant stones just like the megaliths of the Great Pyramid? Africans did that. In India, New Delhi, India, there's a pillar, a metal pillar, magnetized, 20 feet high. Some modern refinery had to make this metal pillar. It's never rusted, and it seems like a Tesla coil. See, this is the whole thing. When I came across Tesla, he answered his work answered all these questions. And Kevin, no one out there, even among Tesla fans, they don't use Tesla's research to solve the ancient world. And this is what I've done.
Sure.
Few people are doing that, because for one thing, people don't know the story of Tesla.
Well, we'll come to that in a minute. Let's just go back a second there. So you're saying that Atlantis was a continent in itself, but when it was destroyed, these other power grids came up.
Yeah, humanity sort of centered on these other, and they rebuilt it. And that's why you have that's why you have the Incas doing the same things. You have the Egyptians, and then you have the Mayas. This is technology going backwards. This is societies greater than us, than what we can do, because they look what they built. Our greatest machines can't lift the stones that they move. Now, this isn't magic. It is anti-gravity is a real science. Just because we haven't developed it and used it on the market today doesn't mean anti-gravity isn't really done. I interviewed Ralph Ring. And he, as a teenager, took a test ride on a saucer built from Otis T. Carr. Otis T. Carr was a student of Tesla. And so in the sense that these were Tesla's plans for a saucer. And here was a man, as a boy, he's still alive today, went on a saucer ride. Well, what happened was this was in 1960. There was going to be a corporation based on Tesla's ideas where everybody would be flying around in saucers. I'm serious. And the government came down, shut it down. And I think Area 51, I think they recovered saucers from Roswell, and that's why there was Area 51. And then later, they recovered these saucers to figure out how did Tesla do it, all for military purposes. Now, so all I'm saying is anti-gravity is as real as television or radio. The ancients were greater than us. They built greater than us
on
a worldwide scale, and they had that.
What do you mean by world power grid? I mean, what was the purpose of the grid?
The same thing. If you study Tesla, you will find out what he wanted. Now, there's a giant tower that he built in New York. This was the sum total of all his work. Now, Tesla invented everything that had to do with electricity, not Edison. Tesla had everything invented everything to do with radio, not Marconi. Now, there's a reason Tesla didn't get the credit for these things. But imagine combining radio and electricity. Imagine having a tower, like a radio tower, sending out a signal over a certain range, and it's wireless electricity. See, not only did Tesla invent everything that had to do with the AC current,
what
our whole world is based on, Tesla, that's Tesla's idea. He obsoleted his own AC with this wireless idea, with these, and it was built in 1900, 1905, the Wardenclyffe magnifying tower. It was like a giant mushroom, and it was getting the energy from a river. It would magnify an electrical charge from a river, from a turbine, and then broadcast it. Broadcast over many, many miles wirelessly. The whole system would eventually look like we would have our machines and vehicles, and everything would have a little antenna.
Picking up motors,
all our houses, getting the feed from the tower, and everything would be wireless, and it's actually using... I'm sorry, I'm hogging the conversation.
No, go ahead.
So I'm saying we got screwed out of this.
Sure.
1900 to 1905, because Tesla realized, or somebody told Tesla, that, hey, we're not ready. Humanity isn't ready for this. We would have made a nasty weapon out of this tower. World War One was coming on. German scientists could have used this, and all you had to do was turn up the volume on this, like turn up. It's a giant magnet. It's a giant Tesla coil, and if you use the wrong way, it could create such vibrations, like a glass is shattered by a certain tone, a certain note, the Earth could be shattered. Believe it or not, and he certainly wouldn't want this used as a weapon. So he dismantled 5 years of work. And he dismantled his dreams because we're not ready for this, and we're still not ready for this. But my whole theory is the ancients had it.
Right.
The ancients took that principle and mastered what Tesla was doing, and it's the whole secret to all these different... utopia is there, but shattered and in ruin, and we're much older as a species. So it just doesn't make sense for us to start out as primates... when these things like pyramids are so old,
it
couldn't be a simple race.
So you're saying basically that these wireless towers transmitted power wirelessly. So are we saying that that the ancient civilizations had electric cars or hovering machines?
Exactly. All that has been wiped away. I know that's hard to believe, but there was a great flood. There were also ancient nuclear wars. 8,000 years ago in India, we have the records of what could only be described as ancient nuclear wars. There's also the word Vimana. Vimana is a flying carpet. That's why we think flying carpets came out of India.
Okay.
And there's I mentioned this pole, this metal pole. It's in New Delhi. And I'm actually going to be interviewed from a European filmmakers are coming all the way to L.A. just to interview me because they're doing a documentary on the New Delhi metal rustless pillar that no one knows how old it is. You have New Delhi, there's millions of people around it. Nobody knows this pillar.
Sure.
When it was new, and it's on the exact opposite side of the Earth as Easter Island.
So are you saying that Easter Island, Stonehenge, and the pyramids were wireless transmission towers or power generators?
Yes. If you were to take Tesla's system, if he was successful and we didn't use it the wrong way, and if we actually had Tesla's system over the 20th century and developed it and developed it and developed it, and in 100, 200, 300 years of refining that tower, it would become a permanent stone pyramid. We would learn how to do that same principle better and better and better, and we actually could build utopia all based on this. And the human race came out of these all of those 13 places are cradles of civilization. And Kevin, I'm going to tell you two things that blows Darwin apart right now. One, all those primates, Australopithecus, Homo erectus, Neanderthal, Cro-Magnon, they all are being found at the same time, at the same level. This makes no sense. Darwin says that each one ruled the world, and then over so much time, a better human form invaded them, killed them, took over the earth, and then over so much time. No, that's all what we're finding. They all lived at the same time. So that's wrong. The second point is that the Cro-Magnon, and we see him on insurance commercials here in America. They actually had a TV show. We see him as cave, these sloped forehead cave people. That's not what they were.
So what's... Go ahead.
They had larger brains. I'm saying we have physical, archaeological evidence, but the anthropologists don't want to tell you that Cro-Magnons didn't have caved-in brains. They had bulbous brains. It makes no sense. It actually means that we, as modern men and women, have devolved from thousands of years ago. Not these other forms, but the one Cro-Magnon. And Edgar Cayce, the greatest psychic, maybe, and I believe, I suggest everyone to read Edgar Cayce's little book, Edgar Cayce on Atlantis. It's not a book about Atlantis. He's taking you there. He helped thousands of people's physical and mental problems by realizing the source of their problems go back to past lives, go back to Egypt, goes back to Maya, goes back to Atlantis. And he helped so many people in this wonderful book. And it's not about Atlantis. It's actually taking you there. And when I read it, I'm thinking, oh, my God, it sounds like Tesla. Raised from stones, powered pleasure vehicles, pyramids as power stations. This is out of psyche. And Edgar Cayce said that Atlantis's destruction was electrical. It makes no sense. But he also said that Cro-Magnon was Atlantean man. And then you find that the brain cavity of Cro-Magnons are huge. And this is makes no sense. And yet, it does in this crazy view of mine that we began in a great enlightened state, and then it could blow up in our face. And Eden and Atlantis are the same thing. They were a paradise that shattered. The humans left in disgrace, and I think the pre-Incans, and then the survivors of Atlantis went to Egypt.
Sure.
And on one side of the ocean went to the Incas. The Incas civilization have stones, the massive stones on the top of the Andes Mountains that don't come from the top of the Andes Mountains. They come from the lowlands. They were cut, trimmed, and fortresses built. We just can't do this. We can't farm there today. And a lot of these places we didn't discover until we flew over the Andes with an airplane. Oh, look what's on top there.
Sure.
So this all goes back to a different. We come from a greater form of human, not from any type of simple primate.
Let me ask you a question then. Why were the Easter Islands, the Stonehenge, and the Great Pyramid, why were they different shapes? I mean, if they were the same technology, the power generators?
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent question, and I said that on Coast to Coast, for different functions. Because, yeah, that's a good question. Why weren't they all Stonehenges? Why weren't they all Easter Island? Because some could have fueled their vehicles. Some could have been healing centers. Some could have just been power. There's libraries. But this is a high-tech thing, and they all had different functions, I believe, and we came out of that. And then when it all collapsed, humanity was stuck in those areas. I mentioned Zimbabwe in southern Africa, and then if you're stranded in the center and your vehicle, see, that's what happened to Easter Island. Once the power was destroyed, your main receiver, one of these towers, didn't work anymore. So I think the Easter Islands still had local power, and they could carve, and they were making receiver after receiver after receiver, and then they realized, wait a minute, because they stopped right in their tracks of making these statues. And then I think they realized the main source, the transmitter, that big island isn't there anymore. The problem is that the transmitter station, not at the receiving station. And Easter Island has a strong magnetic charge. Ship's compasses turn to Easter Island, and on the exact opposite side of the Earth is the culture of India, with this metal pole as an actual magnetic poles being like on the opposite side of the Earth from one another.
Okay. Okay, now I'm looking at your wireless energy grid, which we're going to put on our website. There's a sort of map.
Cool.
Now, there looks to be one there near the Bahamas. Now, what's your theory on the reason for the Bahama effect, where the ships are lost and planes are lost?
Exactly. Like I said, I was married to a psychic, and I sure asked that. That was a big question about the Bermuda Triangle years ago. And this is what I was told, that the people, that there is something there in that area, and that's not that far from the Atlantis area. And there have been reports of some beam coming out of maybe some mechanism on the bottom of the ocean still that maybe was a transporting device, and maybe it's malfunctioning because something has crashed through, didn't just disappear. So there was a guy whose something just smashed the side of his plane, and maybe he hit this beam the wrong way, but maybe if you hit it the right way, I was told you're transported through time, and these people who have died in the 40s, they're still on their journey. We've all went, you know, they've separated from our time. And, you know, we've all went on a certain time a path, and their time is stretched so much that those people have disappeared, are out of our reality, and still on our journey. That's an interesting
Do you think the same could stand for, like, Stonehenge? Do you think that could be a time displacement, or that...
No, because it fits with the... I think you have to look at all these things in connection of one with the other. Stonehenge with the Great Pyramid, Stonehenge... there's another place in Africa, Tassili, and that's in the middle of the Sahara deserts. There are paintings of cave people with round heads, and they have like belt packs and zippers. They have modern things. And now von Däniken took this for aliens with round heads. I think these are people with radiation suits coming into the devastated area that was nuked, and these simple people hid in caves, painted what they saw. They painted flora and fauna, people swimming, ancient cave paintings of people swimming in the middle of the Sahara Desert, along with these, what looks like aliens.
So, right.
That's one of the points, that forming a perfect triangle on Africa, Tassili, Zimbabwe to the south, and the Great Pyramid, and then that same distance is Stonehenge.
Right.
And from the same distance away from each other, like pixels or dimples on a golf ball or on a geodesic dome, and then the same length from the Great Pyramid to the pillar in New Delhi, all the same distance.
Okay, Doug, we're going to take a break there, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To connect with the show, email info@radiocardiff.org.
Speed dating. Speed, no need to wait.
You're listening to The Moore Show, and here's your host, Kevin Moore.
Okay, well, welcome back. I'm joined with Doug Yerchi, and we're discussing the great mysteries of the world. Doug, what's your theories on where mankind came from?
Well, they came from the stars. We landed here and built this. Once you realize that that type of technology existed, we can go into space today. Today we can go into space. Today we know how to humanly clone. So today we can go to a planet, another planet, let's say, clone ourselves, and leave. So what would happen to the clones left on that planet? They would want, yeah. So we would be their gods. And yeah. This, I think, essentially happened. So since science doesn't see that this great technology, and yet there's all the physical evidence there, since they don't believe that such a technology existed, then they can't say, oh, we came from outer space. I think we landed here in an advanced state, built this system for a space colony for the longest period of time. It kept blowing up. We kept reforming it, blowing up. Later, the Indians couldn't build in stone anymore. There are amazing earthen mounds of the Cahokia Indians and the Anasazi Indians. These are amazing Indians between the Mayans and Aztecs and the old West American Indians. These are so much more advanced than the old West American Indians. So you have a perfect devolution in the Americas, because if the first Incas, first Indians walked over here from Asia like they think, they sure, certainly didn't take boats like Thor Heyerdahl's boats sank. They didn't come over from rafts. How did the Incas, Indians get to the Americas? They didn't walk over the Bering Strait, because the first Indians, the Incas, would have all those fortresses in Canada.
Sure.
They wouldn't walk all the way down to South America at the top of the mountains and start building there, and yet that's what happened. So I think they landed here, as Casey says, survivors of Atlantis, built those fortresses because they were at war, those stone fortresses which actually could protect themselves from atomic bombs. Here's another one, Russia. I didn't know that the ancient Russians moved great stone, just like I didn't know the ancient Africans moved great stones until I studied it. There are these things in Russia called dolmens that look like the perfect bomb shelters. And I think they were bomb shelters.
Yeah.
And one of my grid places is in Russia, and I got an email from a fellow named Vlad Pakhomov who studied, and he said, he complimented me on my theory, and he said, we found this Russian sphinx in the mountain, carved mountain with an ancient city. And I asked him, is it anywhere near my grid point for Russia? And he said, yes. So that's pretty remarkable that out of that whole thing, here's, I had the map since the 70s.
Right.
And they've just found this ancient city. And then it even goes further in Canada. I thought I had 12 out of 13 on my grid, and I thought I'd had nothing for Canada. We have found in Google Earth this giant picture of an Indian that's only seen from the air.
Incredible.
In Canada, and it's the exact same spot on my grid. X marks the spot. Again, a big country.
Now, what's your theories on the Atlanteans being able to control the weather?
Yes, that's how they were able to farm on the Andes Mountains. There's terraces, Machu Picchu. You see beautiful Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
And there's terraces. Well, they're not farming there today.
Nope.
But they farmed there. That's what those terraces were for, because they controlled the weather. But, again, this high-tech society blew up. So there goes your weather control. And that's when the Ice Age came in. You know, and I actually think that the deserts are not natural formations. They were nuked, and they were just areas that didn't grow. Many areas did grow back, but these were in torrid areas that weren't going to grow back. Maybe deserts aren't natural formations. But people don't know what a Tesla system would look like, because he was taken out of our books. And like I said, we have that one tower that was built, Wardenclyffe, that was built in New York, because it would accommodate all the people in 1900. That's where the population was in the United States, in New York, accommodated. But this is what did it for me. This is where I had my revelation.
Sure.
When I was reading this, I found out that Tesla wanted 8 more towers It would have looked just like those towers, I'm sure, but at specific global positions, because he was going to build this system. It was the first of 9 towers. He would have had a world grid of 9, where I think the ancients had a world grid of 13.
Okay.
And every, from the ground to the ionosphere, would be, from the negatively charged ground to the positively charged ionosphere, would set up then a field. You would have tower out of thin air at the top of Mount Everest, or the bottom of the ocean, because you'd have that globe at any point on the Earth, and like I said, up to the ionosphere, would be a charged field. And Tesla had that. He wanted that. You know, but so when I said, "Oh my God," Wardenclyffe was just the first of a 9 system. I had my Newton's apple, and I had a realization that threw me to the ground.
Yeah,
crying like a baby.
Yeah.
I knew everything was wrong. Our school books were wrong. Even von Däniken. I loved von Däniken. Just the third alternative of maybe the primates. 2001, the film 2001, is von Dänikenism. Here's your primates, and then here comes the monolith. You know, something accelerated their intelligence, because that shows you right there, how could the primates have increased so much to have built these great masterpieces? They couldn't have been primates.
Sure.
So the only thing is you had to artificially increase their intelligence. Well, I'm saying completely throw away the idea of the primate. He just did that to be accepted by the scientific community. Just deal with the monolith. Just deal with the aliens coming in. There's a whole origin theory right there. No one is saying it. I'm saying it.
Okay.
I'm writing this book. I'm very excited.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago before the break about your book. Just tell us about your book for a minute.
It's called We Are Fallen Gods, and I've tried to write this book so many ways. My old title years ago when I first made the connection was the Atlantis-Tesla connection, when I first put it together. And I had a lot of dead ends, and then I came up with Atlantis Power Grid, and that was a pretty good title, and I wrote a small version of the book and put that on the internet. Maybe that's how you saw me,
I did.
An article called Atlantis Power Grid. It was actually published in a beautiful English magazine called Paranormal.
I know the magazine.
I was on the cover of Paranormal for it was a 2-part series, my Atlantis Power Grid, and that was the short version. Now I've rewritten the whole thing, come at it from a different point of view, and now it's called We Are Fallen Gods, because I've just completely changed human history. But I'm using Tesla. I'm using physical evidence that if we look at all these mysteries in the past and stand back, oh my God, they form a world pattern. They're all connected. In Australia, I didn't mention the one in Australia.
No,
there's that Ayers Rock, that red rock. It's a main feature in Australia. It's
okay.
A giant mesa that's a red called Ayers Rock. That's the largest rock on Earth. We only see the top of it